Hello.
Hello. They kind of.
What's up, Matt?
I think it only caught the back half of that hello.
I hope it did.
Yeah. It just. It was just like.
Hello.
Oh. What's up, Dan?
What's up?
How's it been?
How are you feeling? Tired.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we both share that.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy that you like said the question and then answered it too.
I know. Well, you asked me how it was, and I was like,
oh,
shit.
Okay.
I got an answer too.
So you threw in a question with the answer. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start doing that. Every time someone asks me a question from now on, I'm throwing another question back with an answer.
Yeah.
And hopefully they like combine. Like the question is also something that I can answer with my answer. You know what I mean?
And hopefully they get it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like I see what they're doing.
Yeah.
How was it?
You know, it was pretty good, all things considered, Dan. How about you?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Weather's really nice right now.
Oh, beautiful.
Nice and warm.
Yeah.
Love to see that. It's not, like, unbearable out.
Even if it was, I'm with it.
You're with unbearable?
Yeah.
Okay. I suppose that's how we made it this far, right?
better than the winter. Winter's unbearable.
You know, I feel like we've had this discussion before. And
we have. I think it was the last episode, too.
No way it was the last episode.
It may have been.
May have been. Anyways, that's it. That's all we've got today.
All right, later.
Bye. You know, I think we've done that, like, every episode for the last five.
I know.
That, I think, is accurate.
Uh-huh.
We got to get some, like, new material.
All right, MSI's rolling.
MSI, it's rolling.
Can anyone
stop it while it's rolling? This is an important question.
No.
That no one's asking. No one can. except the M&I. The M&I can stop.
What do you think could actually stop the MSI?
I wasn't prepared for this question. I wasn't prepared for this question. do you want a real answer?
Yeah.
Oh no. I wasn't ready for you to say yes. So I'm going to fabricate one anyway. Nothing.
Nothing could.
There we go. Yeah. I had a real answer, but it was a little bit dark, so I'm not going to say it. I'm just not going to say it.
Do you think that if, like, Faker got, like, food poisoning?
I was saying I'll say it.
If a player dies,
MSI stops. I don't want to speak that into existence.
What if they have a sub?
Oh, no.
Does that team still play?
Imagine you die during the esports tournament and your team carries on without you.
And your team still plays.
Oh my god.
They're like, it's what he would have wanted.
Do you, if you were in, let's say, Faker's position, is that what you'd want? If you died? Not saying Faker's gonna die. I really wish I wouldn't have said this because, like, if something happens, it's just gonna look awful. It's a tough question, right? I'm saying no. If I die and I'm like close with my team,
I don't know. If it's
in the middle of
it's
a tournament,
my
I'm like
legacy,
withdraw.
I'd be like, let's win this for Faker.
No. I'm not saying like you're one of the decision makers. I'm saying you're dead. Would you want your team to carry on without you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I would want them to win the whole thing.
Okay.
For me.
What if you're...
I feel like it'd be more of a motivation than a hindrance.
Yeah, that might be the stuff that puts esports on the map, bro. They'd make movies about that shit.
Yes, they actually would.
Yeah. You know what? Not that it needs to happen, right? Okay? I don't mm-hmm. want it to happen. But if it did...
But
I mean, I don't know, man. It'd be something. It'd be a spectacle. Spectacle.
All right, let's okay, something more realistic. If like a player got, you know, like food poisoning or like a stomach flu or something, you think they're playing? Like, what if it's like, you know, they're shitting or throwing up? Like,
do I think the player's playing? No. I mean, if they're like unable to evade the toilet.
The whole team.
Oh, the whole team.
Whole team.
Whole team? Oh, that's a tough one. Whole team,
yeah.
Unable to evade the toilet. I wonder if they'd let them play remote, because that's happened before.
I don't know.
Not like that exact scenario, but like,
are they going to let him pause for bathroom
potty breaks?
Yeah.
No, I don't think they would let him pause. I think it's just going to be one of those hold it moments.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be. I don't see any other alternative. You find out who's the most sick, the sub plays for them, and then you just hope that they're good. You just hope that the rest are good. That's all you can do. All
right. What if this affects the every team?
Every team has to poop just as bad.
Every team has food poisoning.
Okay.
Either they're pissing shitting or they're throwing up. Does this stop MSI?
No. I think it switches fully remote. So there's two options. It's either goes fully remote and the players just see who could go the longest without having to go to the bathroom, right?
It's a war of attrition.
Exactly. I think that's like the main option. Option number two.
And they would finally win.
Option number two, my phone rings. Okay. It's 3 a.m, right? Uh-huh. Now, hear me out. It's 3 a.m. There's crust in my eyes. I wake up. I see it. It's a random number from Europe or whatever. You know,
yeah.
Somewhere, wherever they're playing. I answer. It's Mr. Riot Games himself. He says, Matt, I know you're one of the event runners for the M&I.
Yeah.
There's how many teams still left there? I tell them all the teams left. I tell them all the rosters, players,
every single name of the players.
I tell them they'll be there tomorrow, okay? I send over the M&I teams to the MSI, the MSI, and they play out the rest of MSI. But
Wow. But
it's still called MSI, right? But the prize pool is the same as the M&I. So they don't win what MSI players would win. The show goes on. The quality... Same quality, obviously, because, I mean, the M&I, it's a prestigious event. It's just as prestigious as MSI.
Yeah.
But it's just there's no prestige to it, really, because you just get a luck skin. Two luck skins, my bad. I think that's the only other option.
No, that,
that
makes sense.
Now, is that the stoppage of the MSI, or is that the rebirth of MSI? But as a new
I feel like
a
that's a
thing,
rebirth.
It's a whole new entity. It's like... What's an example of something like dying and coming back as something else? Like
Anakin Skywalker.
Okay, sure. It's like Anakin Skywalker when he gets mutilated in the fires of Mustafar and comes back as Darth Vader.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like when a butterfly or a caterpillar turns into a butterfly or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the caterpillar doesn't die.
Right. No, it doesn't die. But it's this. That's not a great example. But neither did Anakin, so that's not a good example.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't die. He just got hurt.
Anakin Skywalker died.
Okay.
And Darth Vader.
You know, I don't fully buy that.
Was born.
Because Darth Vader saves Luke Skywalker in the end of, what is it, Return of the Jedi? So I would say he's kind
of. And that's a rebirth of
Anakin.
Yes.
Huh. Never thought about it like that. You could be onto something.
Boom.
Wow. So, are you saying that if we're comparing the two, that from the ashes of the M&I, MSI comes back?
Yeah.
So, it's not stopped?
No.
You can't stop MSI. You can't stop MSI. That's what I'm hearing. It's on a roll and it can't be stopped. It's rolling unstoppable.
You know, I said yes when you said, oh, so it's like it comes back. No, it doesn't. In this case, it doesn't come back.
It does. Okay. Why does Anakin come back, but MSI doesn't?
I mean, MSI will come back next year.
So it can't be stopped. It's inevitable. MSI can't be stopped.
Okay.
That's what I've heard.
All right, let me simplify it. Stopped this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
stopped
MSI
this
can be stopped
all
this
right.
year. Yeah. We've made up the... Yeah. That's a fact. Is it stopped or is it replaced by the M&I?
It is. I think it. I feel like it's like it dies and the M&I is born.
The M&I is already born. It's already 2 years old by now.
It's adopted.
it's the redheaded stepchild of the Lucius Q family.
Of course. It has to be.
But I love it. It really is the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah.
Of course we love it.
We made it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Anyways, MSI rolling could be stopped hypothetically, but we can
we'll talk about it. Possibly a player dying.
Hopefully not.
Or a epidemic of
poop.
Of doo-doo slash throw up.
Yeah.
Fill the air. I gotta grab a charger for my headset.
Yeah. So, I think we're trying to talk about MSI. I didn't watch any of the games leading up to the upper bracket round one. So like, I guess like the last bit of the play-in stage. I do know what happened. I don't know if Danny was trying to talk about it or not. So
we can talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe we just want to be brief with it. I'll let you spit.
I only watched a few games.
Yeah, I only saw results mm-hmm. of a couple of games, mainly the last game. So,
let me see. I have.
I also
day one.
I saw
day
Billy
two,
Billy versus Golden Guardians.
Day three.
He watched it all.
Four.
He's like, yeah, I only watched a couple.
Uh-huh.
Watched
I think
every game.
So.
Didn't miss one.
I think I just put the results in. I don't think I actually watched them.
Okay.
Alright, day one. Was the opener PSG versus DFM?
I think we talked about last week.
Did we?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we recorded like right after it all started.
Okay,
I say we just talk about the teams that made it out. I think yep. It's safe to just talk about. So Billy versus Golden Guardians.
It's crazy. The teams that we said that we're gonna make it out made it out.
Yeah, no, we're crazy. We're nuts. Billy versus Golden Guardians. This one went Billy's way. Surprisingly, really thought the Guardians would pull this one out. Obviously, but surprisingly, Golden Guardians did actually take a game off of them. So that's pretty cool. And then G2 smoked PSG Talon, and then Golden Guardians. One out in the lower bracket finals against PSG Talon, and they moved on.
It is insane to me how many 2-0s there have been.
Yeah, absolutely. In the play-ins, I was shocked. I thought a lot of these would be closer.
In the play-ins, there was two series that went three games.
And Jesus. Surprisingly, one of them was NA versus LPL.
Yeah.
That might be the biggest shock of the we do love that. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah. What do you think of the format then? Do you think that this is
good format? This is the solution. It's what everyone's wanted.
I think it is too. I think it gives these minor regions chances to move forward in the in the what you call it?
Yeah, it's double elimination in theory as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and they have to prove themselves.
Exactly. It sucks. Like a team like DFM only got to play two best of threes in total. But I mean, win your games and maybe don't care or like you don't.
I don't know if you think of like March Madness.
Yeah, it's single like, elimination.
Those guys get one game.
True.
One game and then you're out.
I think it's just a little different because a lot of these teams are traveling internationally to one place. So I get what you're saying. You're not wrong. Mm-hmm. DFM is a team from Japan and they got a nice vacation to London.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much that. I'm sure they're not too pressed about it. Obviously,
okay, maybe there's another thing. Like the World Cup when they have the group stage. Like,
yeah.
You know, like half the teams are eliminated then. And I think that they play only, I think it's like four or six games. I mean, that's the max that that any of these teams could have played and then made it, you know, got out.
Fair.
So you know, I think it's fine what it is.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's a problem. I think if there was any way
I think a lot of people do think it's a problem.
The only way they could make it better is if they did round robin before this. Like they separate them into groups still, right? Group A, Group B. They do round robin amongst the four teams, and then they do a best of three thing somehow. It's just it would have to start so much earlier. There's just not enough time in the year. So
I just don't know. There's I think these people have very high hopes for their minor region teams, and they want to see them play at international events more, but
they're just going to get stomped. So, I don't know. Make your teams play better.
That's the argument, though. How can they get better if they're not playing enough against international teams? There just has to be more international competition mm-hmm. throughout the year. That's all. And I'm sure that's...
Yeah, I agree. There is that, too. But it's also like, okay, well, if you're tired of getting smoked at, international things, try and make it to a major region try and make it to a major region get to the players that are, going to get you guys to perform better and represent your country.
Correct.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, but all in all, I think the format is good. I think this is probably the best way it could be handled. Mm-hmm. At least with the short notice change, basically. I mean, this is only a year after what some people consider an awful version of MSI. So,
yeah,
I'm very okay with how they're doing it.
Yeah, I am too.
Especially in the bracket stage, I think this is the right way to do this for sure.
Yeah, let's move on to that right now.
Yeah.
Then.
First game of the week. What was it? Was it?
Should have been Gen G versus.
Yes.
G two.
Yep.
G2 lost.
Yes. Which
but I think G2 played early game well.
So game one, I think their early game was good.
Mm-hmm.
Game two, they got destroyed. That game was 19
game
and a half
two,
minutes.
19 minutes. It was a bottom differential.
Yes.
Game four, it seemed like G2 were in it until they weren't. that's kind of how I felt about it.
I would kind of agree with that. It unfortunately this whole series, it kind of felt like Caps was getting just destroyed by Chovy.
Not having the best performance.
Game one, it honestly, I think that might have been the biggest gap between two mid laners I had ever seen. Honestly, at that moment, it felt like the gap between Chovy and Caps was not smaller than the gap between me and Faker, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. I'm trying to think of a way to elaborate on that, but I really think that like describes how I felt after watching that performance.
Yeah.
It was a rough game for Caps.
Mm-hmm.
And he got absolutely obliterated. I also feel like this was kind of not... Maybe not draft gap, but it just, like, G2's comp, it relies heavily on Draven getting ahead in this first game. Which
And fourth game. I think it was fourth game.
And fourth game, yes, he was on the Draven as well. Which I don't think is bad. It's just, I think that Gen G is a team that can just kill Draven. They are so good at the game that they could just, it didn't matter what comp they had, they would just probably always find the kill in the Draven.
I think after Worlds last year, we kind of talked about there being a bigger gap between the East and West, and
yes,
it kind of felt like there was here. It felt like
absolutely.
I don't know. I think the big difference that happened throughout the year. Okay, I guess let's go through the rest of these games and then we'll talk about that.
Sure.
Mad Lions versus T1.
Didn't watch it. 3-0. Guess
you
who?
You didn't want to watch it.
I didn't watch it.
Okay,
I actually,
game one.
I did,
game
but it
one,
got ruined for me. Yeah, hit me with it.
Game one, Mad Lions get ahead 7K.
Wow.
And they like lost the team fight and then they flipped a Baron and they lost that. and then game three, T1 win, and this is the LEC first seed, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Not a great showing, I'll be real.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch this, but I think anyone who sees this game on paper knows how this one's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not that that's a bad thing. I do think Mad Lions showed a lot of promise at the end of the LEC split. Obviously, they won it, and they looked pretty good. But I just, the gap between these players, like we were just trying to talk about, it's insurmountable. I would
pretty,
say
it feels pretty massive. Also, I don't think Faker had the best series. I think some of the games he struggled.
Let's say right now, Niski better than Faker?
Yeah, sure. Let's say it.
Sure. Yeah, we'll say it. Niski's better than Faker.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, that's really all there is to say about this. They absolutely fucking smoked him.
And that Nitschke is better than Faker.
Yep, and that. Okay. All right, and then the game that was played today, Cloud9 versus Bilibili Gaming.
Yep.
I've got to be real. The Cloud9 looked really good.
I agree. This was the most promising performance I had ever seen.
This was the closest 0-3 sweep I've ever seen.
I would agree with that. I think the biggest downfall for C9 are the players that are around two of the best players I think the LCS has ever brought to an international tournament, which is Blabber and Berserker.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, of the three players that are on the team not named Blabber and Berserker, I would say Sven was not the worst.
I think Amenez had a rough go of it.
Yeah, I also think Fudge did as well, but they weren't doing him any favors. Yeah. I mean, he was on Sion, I think, two of the three games. One of the games he was on Kennen, which I thought he looked fine on. But he just didn't have like the X factor that someone like Bin would have on this champion.
He couldn't find the flanks, and then Bin was on it like game three, and he just played it way better. It felt like.
Yep.
But it felt like it didn't feel like C9 were just getting stomped the every game. Hope that they learned a lot from it, though.
Oh, definitely. I think that this team has a lot of like. They have ability to adjust after series like this. I think they've shown that in the past, and I think I think they will. I think these players all have high ceiling. I think Eminem is probably the biggest question mark because
I think he needs to, he needs to clean things up and have a better performance than he did in this series if they want to have a chance of moving on.
Hard agree. I'd like to say I think Berserker didn't have a single bad game, and the game three from Blabber on the Lee Sin was like possibly some of the best like jungle play from a LCS player in like international history. He was like borderline solo carrying this game, and I would say he even did that a little bit on the Nocturne game in the early game. Now, unfortunately, they were getting kills, and I think this series wasn't really as close. If you like were solely paying attention to the gold graph. I don't know if C9 ever had a lead. They were scrappy fights, and they were winning fights, but I don't know if they ever really pulled, like, a real gold lead. So, like, the game felt close, I think. Like you said, it felt like a very close best of three, but it really, like, the gold graph just shows a completely different story. Every time that C9 would do something on the map, BLG would just get so much on the other side of the map. And it was just insane gameplay out of them the entire series.
I think C9 will change things, and I think that they move on from this lower bracket.
I hope so too. I think the lower bracket could be rather tough. But if it pans out to be probably NA versus EU, which is what it looks like it's gonna be.
I know it's EU versus EU.
Yeah, EU versus and EU. True.
Cloud9 versus if Golden Guardians lose tomorrow.
When Golden, they're playing against JDG.
I know.
So it's gonna be NA versus NA and EU versus EU. Wow, international tournament, by the way.
Also T1 versus Gen G, by the way. JDG.
No, they can't keep getting away with this. They gotta change the whole fucking bracket again, bro.
Maybe if they just put them on the opposite sides, I don't know why they
literally just mix it up better, man.
I know. Yeah, that's it.
That's funny.
All right, so kind of going back to the gap. I think that this gap from the East and West comes from objective fighting from the East. I feel like they 50-50 so often that they're just so used to being able to steal these things or, not just giving it for free that, no matter how far they are behind. And, some teams just don't know aren't as ready to deal with it as these Eastern teams are.
Yeah.
I feel like, cause that's really where I feel like, everything's been, that's where the most difference I feel like is, as of right now.
I could
agree. And also the team fighting is just insane. They're I feel like the Eastern teams are always there to support any member of their team, and you know, be able to collapse fast enough where even if that one person dies, there's enough follow up where they can just like win the fight or you know, make it worth. So
I agree. I think that it's all about the execution, and mm-hmm. I think they execute pretty much every game plan. But even like the worst teams from East, I think they just mm-hmm. execute better whatever they're trying to do better yeah. than all the Western teams. And I don't know how the Western teams could get better at something like that, but I think that some teams are getting there. Like, they can do it domestically. Like Cloud9, they can just take over games and just win. That's how they were winning in NA, and that's how they got their way to the final. And G2 did that earlier in the year. Maybe not so much at the end, but whereas a team like Mad Lions, it felt like they were a bit more scrappy and like they were kind of just on the fly playing the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do think it's possible for teams to execute, like become better at executing their game plan. But really, at the end of the day, I think it is probably just a matter of some players are just better than others. And in order for that gap to close, it would probably just have to be our players getting better than theirs.
I
wouldn't say it's impossible, but like I do think you're right, especially on the objective play thing. I mean, I would say that first game, Cloud9 could have won it, and then they had Baron stolen from them, and the game just ended from there. Was that game one or game two?
I don't remember. I think it was game two. And even the casters were like, don't flip it, don't flip it, don't flip it, don't flip it. Yeah. Because, like, I was in the same boat. I was like, these guys cannot flip this because they will lose it.
Yep.
And not because I don't believe in Blabber, but just because these guys are so used to 50-50ing things, you know, objectives. And, like, they just are able to, you know, get through the situation better and, you know how to handle it so that they have the best possible chance of them stealing it and then coming back and winning the game.
100% agree. I think it mm-hmm. it probably just, you could boil it down to they're just more ready for the moment.
Exactly.
And that it's not impossible for NA or EU to get better at that, but we haven't seen it, so.
Yeah. Like, it feels like nothing is free in the East. You have to fight for everything super hard.
Yep. And maybe that's like a bad mentality, because maybe not a bad mentality, but maybe it's like the opposite in the West, where it's like, this might be free, we should do it.
Mm-hmm.
It hinders them against teams that it's just not going to be free against.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing that I saw throughout the spring split with guys in the East.
Definitely.
It's just like they 50-50 everything.
Yep. And they are just built for the moment solely because of that. Whereas mm-hmm. NA and the West, I would say there's just not as much of that. There's a lot more let's give this, or like it's just a lot of conceding at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It feels like a more passive play mm-hmm. style, almost like a lay down and take it. which we don't like to see, because it's not going to get you anywhere at MSI.
Yeah,
I get you somewhere at the M&I, though, if we're being real.
Oh, yeah. That'll get you somewhere.
Yeah, definitely.
That'll be in the finals.
Yeah. That's the tagline for the M&I, actually. Mm-hmm. You know how, like... Lay down and take it. It's the tagline.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We should get that on a banner.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
No, wait. No, that's not.
No.
That's a tagline. It's a tagline for the M&I.
Yeah.
And instead of... Defy like it is at the MSI. It's
lay down and take it.
Lay down, take it.
we'll get it put on a flag, and I'll fly it on my truck. How about that?
I love my truck. but yeah, I think that's kind of it for MSI right now. I'm excited to see Golden Guardians play tomorrow. I hope it's not a sweep. Also, G2 looks like the best team because they were the only team to be able to take a game off of any of these teams from the East. So.
True. I will give you that. Now, I will say, I didn't want to like come off as like West hater or G2 hater, but I kind of think that Gen G drafted themselves into a loss with this game because they actually like only had damage on Paze, who was it was basically just like Zeri 1v9 or bust in that game, which it can work. Paze has done it before, but he just couldn't do it against G2 for whatever reason. So
yeah,
but yeah, it was an impressive win from G2. Still, I mean, you still have to win these games. They're not just gonna like lay down and take it. so
yeah, this ain't the M&I.
No, it's not.
Let's I hope it goes well tomorrow for Golden Guardians, but
me too. I think
I'm thinking it's gonna be a GG for JDG.
Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
GG for JDG. So
yeah,
it's a BG.
They're gonna win.
BG
yeah,
for
GG.
GG.
Yes,
BG.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
BG for GG.
But let me give you the hypothetical. Okay.
Hypothetical. Hit me with it.
Stixxay. Korean mid laner.
No. Hold up. Wait. Whoa.
Korean support.
Stop at Stixxay.
Okay. Stixxay. There it is.
They got it. They win.
They can win it. Golden Guardians 3-0.
GG.
You heard it here first.
Yes, sir. Tomorrow would be a sweep.
Yes.
But not for them.
But not for JDG?
Yeah.
Listen, we just need this to happen to shake up the bracket so that it's not NA versus NA, EU versus EU, China versus China, and Korea versus Korea.
Mm-hmm. We're just going to have a bunch of...
It's just going to be the rematches of like every finals except for Europe.
Yeah.
That's so lame.
All right. Let's move on.
Yeah. You wanted to talk some roster stuff, Dan. I don't know what that means, but...
I don't know if I know what it means either.
Okay.
I have the Fnatic roster.
Okay, hang on. Let me come at you with a hypothetical real quick. If you could make your own roster of 5 players, who would you have?
Of anybody?
Yeah, any 5 players in the entire world.
In the entire world?
You're the owner of a very successful company that just bought an LCS spot. Every player is available for you. Who are you picking?
I think I'm just picking T1.
Okay. You know what? That's a good answer. It's a bit of a homer answer. I get it. I understand that.
It is though.
No, understandable.
I don't know what I would. I don't know. They seem like
they're a good team.
Yeah, I don't know.
They didn't win the region.
True.
So. For that solely, I'm going top. We're going 3-6-9, okay? Actually, you know what?
3-6-9.
Scratch that. It's Bin, okay? Then for the jungle, we're going Wunner, okay? I feel like this one's a little bit obvious. I think he's the best, probably the best jungler in the world.
Yeah.
Mid lane, we're going Chovy, okay?
Yeah.
And then the bot lane, it's just got to be Guma Carrier.
Yeah.
I think they're probably the most synergistic bot lane. Maybe
so it's almost
like,
T1.
It's almost T1. But it's T1 with Chovy and then Bin. Because Bin's
it's
really
3/5 T1.
3/5 T1 and then Bin, who's the best top laner in the world, and then Chovy. Because he's really good at League of Legends.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah,
best mid laner in the world. I just don't want to say it because I love Faker.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Yeah, probably. Anyways, right. Roster stuff, Fnatic roster.
So they're keeping their top laner. It's Oskarin still.
There it is. Okay. I couldn't remember who it was.
They're keeping their jungler. Mm. Who is it, Matt?
Resorc.
Yeah, they're keeping their mid.
Okay,
humanoid.
That's
we knew
yeah,
that
let
one.
Me,
that
let
one
me,
is easy.
Let me guess him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the bot lane, it's going to be Nala Rocks 101 coming out of retirement.
How did he know?
I just know these things. I'm tapped in.
What do you mean coming out of retirement?
That name hasn't been used in forever to my
knowledge. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then in the support role, it's Promise Q.
I was going to say, no way you get this right. It is Noah and Trim B.
Oh, Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that?
Uh-huh.
Some dude? It's just some dude named Noah?
No idea.
Noah-dia.
All right, I want you to guess.
I pulled mine off a little bit better than yours. I'm just saying.
I want you to guess the Spring Split 2023 All Pro roster for the LCS.
LCS.
LEC, sorry.
Oh, okay. What a transition. That was jarring. threw me off.
I know.
Okay, hang on. I gotta look at the teams in the LEC. Mm-hmm. Let me look at the standings because it's gonna be a lot of BDS. Maybe not a lot. So we'll go with, let's say, first team all pro mid laner. I'm gonna start with the middle because it's the center. Nuke, don't say anything. Okay. You just
all right. I won't do anything with the rest of them. Sorry.
No, you're good. Top lane Photon, jungle. I'm gonna go with, and then bot lane Hans Mama and Labrov.
Wow, that's crazy. You got every single one of them wrong.
I feel like I've been doing that a lot lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Hit me with it.
It is 4 Mad Lions players.
What the fuck?
And
they finished BDS. 8th!
They
finished 8th in the regular season! What is that? What's this voting?
Incorrect. It's Chasey, Elyoya, Niski, Crowny, and Hillisang.
What the fuck? They were 4-8!
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it now just a season thing? It's not just the split, like the regular split?
I have no idea.
That's fucked up. In my opinion, it should just be based off the regular season. That's how it's like. Mm-hmm. That's how it is for sports.
Yeah.
How it was. I think that's how it is usually for like LCS and everything too. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
Damn.
All right.
Did me dirty. I did pretty good, I think. Listen, that's what the All-Pro should have been, what I fucking said.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Or maybe something like that. I don't know. I didn't have anyone from Astralis, and they finished second, but they're not moving me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not moved.
Yeah, no, I'm unmoved.
All right. I have some other roster things.
Let's talk about it.
LCS. Elia is going to be Evil Genius's support.
Elia or Ayla?
Ayla. L-A-A. Yeah, Ayla. I said it wrong.
You're good.
All right, moving back to LEC. VTO will be Team Heretic's mid laner.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Okay. So I think FlyQuest picked up Vulcan as well. I don't know if that's confirmed, but I think I saw that. Pretty sure I saw that. Because Ayla was FlyQuest support. I think it's like a swap kind of thing.
Yeah, I'll have to see. Apparently, I do have some more stuff. Advini, he's going to Koi.
Wow.
And Blackid will be the Team Heretic's bot laner.
Poggers.
Yeah.
They really did my boy Jack Spectra dirty. They gave him.
Yeah, they actually did.
Not even a full, like, real split worth of gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. Whatever. You know, it's tough out there in the LEC. You gotta show that you're good enough immediately.
Yeah, I guess so.
And maybe Flackid, who has already proven he's not good enough, will prove he's good enough.
I think both those guys should be given a little bit more of a chance, so.
True, sure. Yeah, I won't write Flackett off completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I think it's a little weird that we're giving up on Jack Spectre already, though. That's all. I think these are, like, half splits comparatively to what they, like, previously got, right? So, like, even though there has been 2 splits, technically, in Europe, it's, like, have they really had enough time as a team to gel and grow? I mean, I know Team Heretics went from a playoff team to not making the playoffs, but do we think that the team just, like, got worse? I mean, I think Ruby and Evie are definitely question marks on this team, but, I mean, Yankos was still good. I felt like Jack Spectre was probably a big part of why they were winning their games in the winter split. But, anyways, the people running the team, they clearly know more than I do, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, they're there for a reason.
We're going to find out.
Yeah. I hope they suck more than they did this past split, but you know what? If they don't, more power to them. They made the right call. I think they got rid of Ruby as well.
They did.
Oh, yeah.
Ruby.
Yeah. He's in the LCS now, right?
Yeah.
100 Thieves? No.
I can't remember, but someone picked him up.
A team in the LCS.
Yeah, sure. I don't remember exactly who it was.
Yeah. And yeah, their new mid laner is not Elyoya. he's a jungler. Their new mid laner is the one dude. You know who I'm talking about. I already forgot his name. Yeah,
I know. You really did just forget.
Yeah, I'm just going to not even try to say who it is. I'll just make up who it is. It's Faker.
Wow.
It's a big great signing. Choice. It's a big signing.
Yeah, huge, massive signing.
Massive signing. I mean, would you say that Yankos is the best jungler Faker's ever played with, besides Warner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hard agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Stixxay and Yankos aren't so different, where if you just surrounded them like on a Korean team, they'd be like world champions.
They'd be pretty good, yeah.
Except like this one's not a meme. This one's real because Yankos is that good.
I agree.
Okay. Cool.
I think that's it for all the roster stuff that I have.
Yeah, I haven't been paying much attention to that. I try to like not see anything league related while there's a tournament going on, just to avoid spoilers. So
yeah,
I've got nothing. I'll fabricate one real quick though. So
yes, please.
Bjergsen actually coming out of retirement once again.
Crazy after announcing stuff. He's going exactly. Into retirement.
He's back. He's back again. He doesn't know when to quit. Guess where he's going? You'll never guess it. Yes.
3, 2, 1,
answer.
Anyone's legend.
That's a really good guess. No, it's TSM once again. It's that means, and this is breaking news as well, the TSM roster is going to be, it's going to be Haunter in the top lane, Svenskeren in the jungle, Bjergsen mid, actually no, we'll go with the funny one, Dyrus in the top lane, Svenskeren jungle, Bjergsen mid, Wild Turtle AD carry, Biofrost support. I don't remember who their support was. It probably wasn't Bio, but we're going with Biofrost.
It's pretty realistic, so.
Yeah, that's the TSM roster. Pretty stacked if it was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you think when they get to Worlds or wherever Dyrus cried at, do you think if they lose, he'll cry again?
Nah. No. Probably like, I'm done with this shit. Fuck it.
He's ready for the moment this time. He's like, okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. That's all the roster news I have.
Big. Thank you for, thanks for the input.
No problem. Input. I just broke some news, man.
Thanks for the breaking news.
You're welcome. I got to clean up all this news, so it's broken all over the floor. I'll be right back.
Give him a sec. Gotta clean up the news now.
All right, we're back. Clean up the news.
All right. Let's do
media review.
Let's do that.
Go time. This is a long-awaited one. I haven't had a media review of my choice in 3 years. Not really.
Yeah,
that's not true.
It's been even longer for me, I think. Because we did one together and then...
Weekend.
Yeah. Oh, no, I did do one. Never mind. Yep.
Yeah, no. I know. Really forgettable. Trust me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we are reviewing the... A newer album. This album came out last month, middle of last month, something like that. It is a collaborative album by two artists, both who I'm very keen on. One of them being JPEG Mafia, the other being Danny Brown. This is Scaring the Hoes, Volume 1. Which is, oh, you're scared? What does that mean? You're scared? Are you?
No, they messed up the,
Who's they?
Spotify.
Oh no, they messed it up.
They messed up the. They like updated the whole site and now I hate it.
Well, you just cut me off and you. Sorry. You're really, no, it's okay. It's okay. This is a full on feature length collaborative album by JPEG Mafia and Danny Brown, released earlier this year. Like I said, 14 songs, 36 minutes, rather trim. None of these songs really have a runtime. I believe none of them have a runtime over 3 minutes and 30 seconds. So a lot of trim tracks on here. It's I would say this is like more alternative hip hop.
Can I ask a question before?
Yeah, please do.
Before we rate it, which I don't know which guy singing is JPEG Mafia and which guy is Danny Brown?
So Danny Brown is the one with the whiny inflection on his voice, if that makes sense. The one who I'm not gonna try to mimic it because I don't want to. So the first verse on the first song, that's JPEG Mafia.
I'm gonna play one of his songs.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, this was, I should have maybe given you like a precursor.
Yeah, I don't.
The album. You don't know who's who.
I
which is really funny. I should have had you guess who is who. What a missed opportunity. Do you still not know?
I mean, no, I still don't know.
That's crazy to me. Danny Brown, so...
Okay, hold up.
This is great. No, stop trying to find out. You're going to guess.
You said he does the first verse in on the first song?
JPEG Mafia is the first verse on the first song. This man's not ready to talk about this album. That's okay, though.
I'm ready. I just don't know which one is which.
I wonder, does your perspective change at all now, or potentially knowing who's who now?
Got it. Okay. I know who is who.
Yeah. This album, I think, is aptly titled Scaring the Hose. I think this is a lot of, like I said, it's more alternative hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these artists are a bit more underground. Danny Brown maybe less so than JPEG Mafia. But
yeah, I feel
both,
like I've heard of Danny Brown before.
You probably have. I'd say he's like a bit more popular, but it's mainly because of how different he sounds.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of his stuff's different. JPEG Mafia, he's basically like probably the most popular underground hip-hop artist in the game right now, I would say.
Yeah.
And I would say his popularity is solely grown just off of the internet and everything alone. And not that it's like impossible that he grew it like outside of that, but I would say it's a big part of how he became a bit more, I guess, in the public eye. And he is probably one of the best in the game right now, in my opinion, from a production standpoint, a lyric standpoint. And he really could do it all. He has a pretty great voice. He's got some great pen game. And production, like I said. So this album was highly anticipated when it was announced by me, especially and by everyone except the Hoes. I'm sure when this was announced, they were shivering,
yeah,
in fear, no doubt. And this one, they released, I believe it was two tracks preemptively before the album. Lean Beef Patty was a single, and then Scaring the Hoes is the other single.
Uh-huh. Of course, you gotta release
the title,
the
track.
Namesake of the album.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'd like to know your thoughts on this album, though, Dan. Initial.
I have another question.
Yeah, hit me with it.
Who's the guy who sounds funny when he raps?
That's Danny Brown.
Okay, I went to listen to another Danny Brown song. Okay, so he does the clean and then the funny weird guy. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, I don't know what you're trying to say.
Okay, Step a Pig, the first, like, whoever's singing at the beginning there, who is that?
That's Danny Brown.
Okay, thank you. I went back to listen to something else to see if I could see which one is which.
Still couldn't, huh?
But we got there now.
Okay. So what was your initial reaction on the first listen to this album?
I did not like it.
Yeah, I figured.
There was no structure. I don't think I liked any part of it. I was like, wow, this thing kind of sucks.
Okay.
I was like, I don't like this guy who's singing. Or rapping. I don't like the guy who I didn't like Danny Brown, how he sang. I was like,
how he sounds.
Yeah, I was like, he sounds. And everything that he said, I was like, I don't like any of this.
And did that stay true upon re-listens?
I listened to it, I think, six times.
Okay.
And I think today I listened to it the last time and
it clicked. You loved it.
I definitely did not love it, but I hated it less.
Okay. Is there a stickout track for you, one that caught your ear that you actually did like ever, or at least on the initial listen, was there one that stood out to you?
Orange Juice Jones.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like that's probably like that
the
one
easiest listen on the entire album, if we're being honest.
And then today, I think Perfect was was a pretty good one.
Yes.
I honestly think Steppa Pig kind of grew on me a little bit, but yeah, overall, I am not listening to this again.
Would it be safe to say that you were scared by Chance?
No, I understand why it's called Scaring the Hoes, because they have every right to be scared because it sucks.
I know.
I had to think of something like, how can I say that it makes sense? But that was all that I had, even though it's not, I don't think it's indicative of what it actually is. I think, I understand why people like it, but it's definitely not my taste. And I wouldn't say that it sucks. It's definitely not my taste, though.
Perfectly fine. Yeah, I think it's called Scaring the Hoes because I think that's a term used in popular, like, online circles that talk about music, like, this music will scare the hoes away, or, like, play something. Like, I think they say it really well in the song Scaring the Hoes. Like, play something for the bitches. How the fuck are we supposed to make money off of this shit? Literally, they say that in a song on the album, and I think it's perfect. So my initial listen to this album, I loved it immediately. I've listened to a lot of Danny Brown, a lot of JPEG Mafia. And I've always loved JPEG Mafia. Is probably gonna be my, like, most listened to artist on Spotify. I've listened to his entire discography, like, front to back, like, nonstop this year, basically, just trying to, like, get an idea of, like, the production. And I think production.
Yeah. What? Explain more. What you like about him, and what you like about this album?
Yeah. So I think JPEG Mafia in general, I think he's got this, like, almost like, it's almost like a punk rap kind of style where it's, like, aggressive and more.
There's a little
face.
Bit of that in one song. I can't remember the song.
I feel
where they,
like,
have, like, a guitar. It might be Steppa Pig.
I think it's Garbage Pail Kids. He has that.
Yeah, I think it's that one.
He kind of turns into that on Lean Beef Patty as well. I think his delivery on a lot of the lyrics that he writes are.
Yeah, Garbage Pail Kids is what I'm thinking of.
Perfect as well. He's got this, like, real shouty kind of, like inflection when he raps, and it just feels so raw and, like, powerful to me, and I really like, and he has that throughout all of his stuff, but he's also got some more melodic stuff and stuff that I would say is more accessible, and I might actually give you something like that in the future from him. But I think that's, like, one of the main draws from him for me. I also think his production, like, he takes stuff that, like, I can't even fathom and turns it into music. Like, Garbage Pail Kids, he samples, like, a noodle commercial from, like, the 90s, and he turns it into, like, snares. It's, like, the craziest thing. And Fentanyl Tester, he samples whatever the milkshake song is. Yes.
Now, my favorite part of this album is that. I prefer the background stuff than, like, the actual songs.
Okay, so
how it was mixed and produced. Yes. Like, I like that.
Yeah, it's just an impressive feat. Not to say I'm, like, I know anything about, like, producing, but since I've been trying to do it more,
because album soon.
Exactly, because album soon. we didn't do our socials anyway.
Fuck.
Since I've been trying to do it, I've kind of learned a bit more about, like, the difficulty of it all, and I can't even fathom how he's made some of this stuff. And I believe he produced this entire album front to back, which is even more impressive. But I mean, like, this one, it does have a miss on here for me, maybe two potentially. I think that Run the Jewels is half baked. Danny Brown's vocals are pretty washed out on his verse. I don't even know if you could hear him. It's like there's, like, basically nothing you could hear from him. But other than that one, I would say that this is damn near perfect for me as well. Where You Get Your Coke From is, it's another one where it's, like, probably the hardest thing to listen to on this. Like, it's
really?
Got this where I think it's just.
I didn't mind
of,
that one.
Really? I like it. I like it. I do. It's just, I don't know if I can listen to it just, like, if it popped up in my Spotify playlist. It might get the skip. In the context of listening to it in the album, I think it's the perfect way to close the album because it's so it's so weird with the booming bass, the horns, and it just abruptly ends and then the album's over, and I think it's a great end to the album.
I was listening today and it ended and I didn't even realize I was listening to, like, a different song on it, not like the album.
I would say, like, my biggest complaint is probably Run the Jewels, because I think that album is, or that I think that it could have used maybe another minute. And I think JPEG Mafia has a pretty short verse on Jack Harlow Combo Meal. Those are probably, like, my only gripes. But again, I think both of these people are on the top of their game. I really love I love like everything about Step a Pig. I think Perfect is one of the, like, the biggest bangers of the year. The beat on that song is like crazy to me. It's the horns, like Danny Brown's verse, his intro verse is crazy. JPEG Mafia's verse, the way he comes in, it's all perfect. So I think there's this one, it's been in rotation since it came out as well. And there's also another highlight. I think God Loves You is like a crazy highlight. It's got some clever wordplay and I guess double entendres from Danny Brown. And anytime JPEG Mafia is over like a gospel sample, it's pretty crazy. So, and then Kingdom Hearts Key is another one where it's got like transcendent beat switches throughout the entire song.
Yeah.
And it's got the only feature on it as well from Red Veil, and it comes off, and it's probably the best feature he's ever going to give in his entire life, which isn't a bad thing. And then Orange Juice Jones, like you said, I think both of them rap so smoothly over that beat. And I really like it. So yeah, I could gush about this album for hours, but,
yeah, I can tell. Not a bad thing though. Saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah, I know you're not.
Just saying I could tell.
Yeah. I love it. So number score time.
Yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts, Dan?
Nah.
Nope. Okay. Let me hear it. Give me yours.
3.
Okay. I'm going to give this one a 9 simply because I want to give it a 10, but I really wish that Run the Jewels was longer, and then I wish that JPEG Mafia had a longer verse on Jack Harlow Combo Meal. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I like I said, I don't think I'm going to listen to this again.
No.
Okay. Definitely not my taste, but I understand where you are where you're coming from and why you do like it.
Very cool.
I think that's kind of the important thing to get out of this this stuff too, is like understand why someone likes something.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's everyone has their own taste in music, and that's the beauty of it all. It's subjective. You know? So like
oh
the,
man,
like,
I gotta give you one now.
Exactly. Like the last album that I listened to that you gave me, I didn't like it at all, and you liked it a lot. And it's perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, there's a couple albums I'm thinking of giving you. I don't know which one though.
I'm ready for whatever, because I've got a need for some new music in the rotation. I can't lie.
Need for speed.
Yeah. Not speed, but music. Yeah.
Speed?
Yeah. Follow us on Spotify, Apple
Music, Twitter,
Apple Podcasts, Album Soon,
Loser's Q Pod.
Let's just keep talking over each other while we do this.
I know.
Loser's Q Podcast @gmail.com.
@gmail.com.
That's the one. Send us your sads, bads, glads, bads.
All of those things.
All of them. Please.
I think that's it.
MySpace.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Can't forget that one.
Yeah. What do you think of the album cover for Scaring the Hose?
I think that's pretty cool.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
The entire like merch release for it was like kind of like 80s movie.
Did you get anything?
I did. I bought a shirt. It says Scaring the Hose on the back, and I really like that.
Good.
I think it's funny.
That's something I'm very much into right now. So the bands I listen to, I'm always looking for like you know, that next sick piece of merch.
Yeah.
There's always like the generic stuff that's just like black and it's got the band name on it or whatever.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really have anything distinguishing on it, but man, when you find the good one.
Would you wear Scaring the Hose merch?
Probably, yeah.
Nice.
It goes hard, yeah.
No, it goes hard. It does.
But I mean I'd be a poser then, so I couldn't. True. I could not in good conscience wear that.
You listened to the album, so I don't know if you're a poser.
True.
You don't have to like something to wear it.
Right. No, I guess.
No, you kind of do. I was just saying. Yeah, no, you do. It's okay.
Yeah, you do.
If the merch is like, the merch, it just says Scaring the Hose on it. It could just be like a brand, and then it's got like JPEG Mafia or Danny Brown
on it. If someone comes up to me and be like, "Ah, oh, nice shirt," I said, "Hey, I didn't really like the.
I fucking I hate really the like album. The
album. Why are you wearing it then? All right, well,
looks cool.
Goes hard.
Exactly. What are they gonna say?
Uh-huh. Oh,
and that's it.
All right.
Conversation over.
But yeah, there's a couple of bands that just came out with one band that when they released their single, they had like I think less than 1,000 listeners on their Spotify. And now it's been 3 weeks and they have 11,000, and I already got some merch from them because I was like, these guys are nuts and I have to get something. I'm thinking of giving you that EP, but I don't know yet. It's only 5 songs, so
okay. Well,
it'd be really short then.
I can listen to it more.
Oh no, there's 6. There's 6 songs.
I mean,
it's only 18 minutes.
Eggy Pocket, which we reviewed, was like 7
true,
songs.
True,
like
true, 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 true.
How long?
And I also wouldn't mind, huh?
How long is it?
Yeah, 18 minutes.
Oh, pfft.
Yeah.
That's pretty short.
Yeah, I know.
Nice. Well, whatever. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Okay.
All right. I think that's it, Hugh.
Yeah, I'm Dan.
Well, I'm Matt.
And this was Loser's Cue.
Here, wait.
Oh, he's got one more.
Quick NHL update.
Okay.
the Panthers are, well, they should have ended the series last night, but looks like your
Toronto Maple Leafs
are still in it.
We're back. We're coming back. It's gonna be a reverse sweep. I can feel.
I don't remember when they play next, but it might be.
It's usually every other night. So if it was last night, not tonight, on again tonight or tomorrow night, Friday night.
Yeah, I think it should be Friday. So
it will be Friday.
So we'll see if my Florida Panthers defeat your Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah. It's an epic battle.
It sure is.
But I know my team will pull through. I know they will.
I hope so.
It's about time the Leafs won the cup, eh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even remotely Canadian. I've never even been to Canada.
They're your team, day one team.
It's my team, day one. Other hockey news, the Blackhawks won the lottery, and now they're like...
I did see that. They have first round pick.
Exactly. Everyone's talking about this dude like he's this new upcoming player, like he's the LeBron James of hockey, so that's cool.
Yeah, I did see that. I don't remember his name, though.
Maybe it'll bring me back. Maybe I'm back. You know what? Yeah.
I'm
back.
I've been using that quote a ton of times. Like, I don't know why. It just, like,
it's just so
fits.
Funny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's back.
Yeah. And I'm back.
And just like that, the episode's going to end.
And we're gone.
We're gone.
We'll be back
next
later.
Week, we're back.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You're Dan. I'm Matt. This was Loser's Cue. Goodbye.